Congregation, this evening we open our Bible to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 33, to be directed there to a proper understanding of what the Catechism wants us to grasp. At the end of Lord's Day 44, the last question and answer dealing with the commandments, that is question 115 and its answer, which we'll take up reading responsibly in a moment. You'll probably think as you're listening to and reciting the answer to this question, and as you're pondering that in the sermon, that it would have been well for this to be the first matter before we came to the commandments. And I suppose that's also true, as it would have been also an excellent preview and prologue to our time spent dealing with the Ten Commandments in some detail, which we have been doing. But it is also a great way to send us out of this section on the commandments. And so in a moment, we'll read responsively that last question and answer of Lord's Day 44, 115. But it is simply a summary of what we have in the Word of God. And tonight at Ezekiel 33, in the first 9 verses. So follow along carefully there, and we'll begin Ezekiel 33 at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, speak to the countrymen and say to them, when I bring the sword against the land, and the people of the land choose one of their men and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people, then, if anyone hears the trumpet but does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes his life, his blood will be on his own head. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning, his blood will be on his own head. If he had taken warning, he would have saved himself. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, that man will be taken away because of his sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, but I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. As far as your congregation, the reading of God's holy word, keep your Bible near you as we will pay careful attention to that text in Ezekiel. But now to the summary of the teaching of the word of God and the last question and answer dealing with the commandments, 115, and this question. No one in this life can obey the Ten Commandments perfectly. Why, then, does God want them preached so pointedly? First, so that the longer we live, the more we may come to know our sinfulness, and the more eagerly look to Christ for forgiveness of sins and righteousness. Second, so that while praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, we may never stop striving to be renewed more and more after God's image, until after this life we reach our goal, perfection. These things, dear congregation, we believe, for they are taught to us in God's holy word. Let's ask His help this evening as we continue. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight that You have granted to us the privilege of Your word. We ask that we might count it a privilege to have this time devoted to but one thing, that is to rightly understand Your word. For, oh, Heavenly Father, as we read individually Your Bible, and as we read as families and family devotions, the Scriptures, we come to an understanding of things, but then there are questions we want settled and issues we want answers to, and we want to grow in our understanding of what it is You say in the Bible, and so You give us preaching. And Lord, we pray we might come not only to a head knowledge, but especially about this matter tonight, a heart knowledge by Your Spirit. We pray, Lord, that You would do these very things in us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it seems sometimes from the preacher's perspective that he is being rather hard on a congregation. It might seem that way as well to the congregation, especially as we are working through hard things, as we have been lately doing in the commandments. Now, the preacher does not want to be overly negative, and he does not want to be overly hard or harsh. But as we're about to see from the text and the catechism, there is a responsibility that falls to the minister to preach what God says and to leave it be at that. But I want to say something about that because I think there is a great problem arising in many churches today, particularly in American Christianity. It is that many ministers have lost the concern to warn. They have lost the concern to warn. You see, the minister in preaching does not fulfill the kingly role that belongs to the elders. The minister in preaching does not fulfill the priestly role that belongs to the deacon. But the minister in preaching fulfills the prophet's role. And that means there is a certain aspect, it's not the whole of it, but there's a certain aspect of the duty that falls to the minister to stand before God's people and warn them. Now, this inherently is what Ezekiel is being told to do, what God is addressing to him here in chapter 33. By the analogy, notice this, by the analogy of the office of the watchman. We listen to question and answer 115 in the catechism. Tell us that God wants his law preached pointedly. If you were to go to the earlier version of the Heidelberg Catechism, as it occurred in the older Psalter hymnal, the language there in the older catechism would be that God wants the law preached, here was the word, strictly. Well, pointedly or strictly, we understand that means to warn. And then we wonder, preachers have not lost the voice of alarm. People of God, and here's your first fill in the blank, which is on the opposite side of that sermon note-taking guide. People of God, if we can be so bold, verse 2, the people of a certain territory, let's say congregation, take a man and make him their watchman, let's say preacher, an important part of his duty is to sound the alarm, blow the trumpet, when he notices trouble approaching. If a people heed that warning, then they have listened to the preacher as he's fulfilled his responsibility. But if the preacher fails to warn, then he bears the responsibility because the enemy is always approaching. And it is no different in our day. And we can understand that as we listen to the last section of our text, verses 7 through 9, as the enemy approaching, not in physical terms, remember this is in Ezekiel 33 is an analogy, but approaching in spiritual terms, alluring us, lying to us, as he did to Adam and Eve, that it's just fine to violate God's commandments. Beloved, here's the theme then. The watchman announces the deadly danger of violations of the commandment. The watchman announces the deadly danger of violations of the commandments. The first thing we need then to consider is preachers as watchmen are to announce commandment violations. Now, we've said it a couple of times already that what we have here in Ezekiel 33 is an analogy, but it might help to flesh that out a little bit because we don't live with walled cities anymore, at least not in most cases. But in ancient times, enemies could approach at any moment. There were not large police forces to protect. There were not ample military members to guard every city and village. And so very regularly, those city fathers and the people of significance would make sure that a wall was built to protect the city, provide protection. Now, often in those cities, the city gate was wide open during the day because people would obviously come in and go out and commerce was happening and most of the agricultural business of that community would take place just outside the city wall. And so the gate was open. And because of the always imminent approach of the enemy, there was on the wall the watchman. That watchman was extremely important and trained in particularly two specific things. First, he knows exceedingly well the look of the lay of the land before him. He would be extremely familiar with every tree and shrub and little pond and stream and the fields and how things looked. He had to know it very, very well. Well, beloved, perhaps we can make some connection to that in terms of the minister knowing the lay of the land, that is, of the congregation. To be familiar with the congregation to which the Lord has called a man, its strengths, the congregation's weaknesses, its tendencies, the past trials and situations and the current challenges and the future hopes or fears of a particular people. This the watchman needs to know. Now, there's more than that, and we're going to see that in a moment, but then there's this second thing. Secondly, the watchman should be able to quickly spot and rapidly and accurately assess any threat which might appear on the horizon would be then heading toward the city. He should be able to see it from a long way off and sound the alarm. People of God, the watchman, seeing commandment violations out there coming near, must be able to warn the congregation, and he must actually issue the warning. Notice there are two different things there. One, the ability to notice that it's a danger. And then the second thing is to actually issue the warning. I think we've gotten ourselves, and I speak broadly here about American Christianity, to wrongly separate those two things. The ability to know that certain things are wrong from the courage and tenacity and sense of calling to actually issue the warning. And there's where we find our trouble. Well, our text in Ezekiel 33 makes it very clear that each individual, that is you and me, we have the personal responsibility to respond to the warnings that come to us from the Word of God. Then the congregation has, if I might put it this way, not wanting to separate myself from you, but it is still the case in the Word of God, that the congregation has the responsibility to respond to the warnings issued from the pulpit. The preacher must take seriously his duty and responsibility to know what's going on and address it. Alongside the elders, he takes that responsibility seriously to be able to look out there and detect the first movement, the subtle approach of the enemy who does not wish to be detected. Now get that. Here's where the analogy is so very helpful. The watchman has to know these things very well because the enemy does not wish to be detected. He sometimes dresses himself, as the scripture tells us, you know what I'm about to say, as an angel of light, because he wants to fly in with the people being unaware. Well, we want to see then, and we'll take this up in some detail, how we are to be warned against violations of the first table of the law, and then later the second table of the law, because God wants his commandments preached pointedly. People of God, we don't get to be sloppy or loosey-goosey with what God says in the commandments. We have to know well the authentic item so that we can quickly call out warning about the imposter. Well, secondly, God wants his commandments preached this way to warn his people. So this knowledge of the commandments and the observation for, looking for imposters and other enemies seeking to get in and destroy, comes mainly through faithful preaching of the law. But that's fulsome preaching. This is why I said maybe this would have been a good prologue, a preview before we get to the commandments, because it sets the stage for an expectation for preaching that's not an inch thick and a mile wide, but rather preaching that is deep and meaty. It is detailed. It is spiritual. It is Christ-centered. It is Holy Spirit moved along. It is experientially received by God's people. They say, I want to know not just the surface matters of the commandments, but I want to get into the depth of the issue. And I want to know some of the extent of what is included here in commandments 1 through 10. I want to really know. Well, beloved, that's what preaching should be doing, so that we can be heads up aware. I can't help but think of this in military terms. That's part of my background. You know this. And when the military wants to train you for some new skill or some ability or to train you on some piece of equipment or a weapon, they don't say, well, here, read the book and go on and it'll be great. But it's drilled into you and drilled into you and drilled into you at depth and extensively. Well, beloved, if that's true about military service, how much more so should it be true about spiritual conflict issues? in dealing with the law of God. We need, beloved, to understand the necessity to have fulsome preaching. Not of all the Word of God, of course, but that includes fulsome preaching about the commandments. People of God, the watchmen see the violations. They see the violations and warn the people so that they are not swept up in the destruction. Think about those angels sent to Lot in Sodom, saying to them, get your family and go so that you will not be swept up in the coming fire of judgment. Now I need to say it, and you already realize it, that this is not the only duty of a faithful minister. It's not the only kind of preaching that takes place from the pulpit. But I want to emphasize the reality that it is a part of the duty and responsibility of faithful preaching. To say, now listen, the enemy wants to come in and subtly lead us astray in terms of the seriousness with which God takes his commandments. He does not say to us, God does not say to us, well, those commandments were for those Old Testament people and you guys are just fine. No, the catechism. Why then does God want them preached so pointedly, so seriously? Isn't it interesting that in its answer to that question, the catechism says, first, that we may the more and more come to know our sinfulness, so that, I might insert those words, so that the more eagerly we will look to Christ for forgiveness of sins and righteousness. Oh, beloved, that's something of the depth of it, isn't it? Do we know the full extent of what it is that Christ has done for us? No, but as we come to wrestle with our sins by being exposed to the commandments, then we come more and more to know the work that Christ has done for us so much more richly. Well, there's the other side of the matter. And the other side of the matter is this, that the church is weakened to the extent to which preacher does not pointedly preach the law of God. You see, I am convinced that the catechism is speaking about the desire of every true believer when it says that we might come to know our sinfulness. I think that is indeed the heart of the real Christian. We want to know of our sin so that we might know of the graciousness of Jesus Christ. The Christian desires by the Holy Spirit to seek further forgiveness of sins. But you see, that further confession of sin requires deeper preaching of the commandments so that we might grasp not only the surface, but might dig down. For instance, when the watchman on the wall sees, and here's an easy one from the analogy, when he sees that violating the Lord's day by choosing to shop or engage in all kinds of entertainment or disregard, for instance, the second service to do other things, when the watchman sees those easy things of the violations of the commandments, he is called to express the warning and to speak the caution and to give the alert and the alarm. Now you may say, well, that's an easy one. And thinking about the fourth commandment, we're called to keep the Lord's day holy. Yes, we are. But and I'm speaking generally, not just of a particular congregation or a particular country of Christians either, but I do say we, the church in general, has so watered down the strictness of the commandments that we flippantly set them aside for any other reason that might come up. We need to be warned about that. People of God, that member, verse 5, that member heard the warning in pointed law preaching and the call of the gospel to repentance, and verse 5, took the warning to save his life. Did you notice that in Ezekiel 33, where a couple of times we are told that the outcome of heeding the warning is saving of life? That's a significant thing, isn't it? The sounding of the alarm, the blowing of the trumpet is unto safety, not just a temporal safety, but an eternal safety. What are we to do when we hear the call, the warning? We're to flee for our lives back into Christ's loving arms by confession of sins. Well, beloved, thirdly, you are warned of these violations of the first table of the law. Respond. People of God, I am going to, this is your first fill in the blank in this next section. People of God, I am going to list out specific examples of violations of each of the Ten Commandments of the first table now and the second table in our fourth point. And I want you to try to get these. Now, these are just some examples. There are so many more. But these, I might say, these violations are actively happening in our society right now. Think about the first commandment, have no other God before me, which is being violated by the demand that we all bow to the God of science in the mandate of evolutionary belief, which mandate of evolutionary belief requires a world without the Creator. Now you say, well, that's happening in the scientific community. That's true. You'll say that's happening in the public schools. It has been that way for generations. That's true. But it is even being taught in Christian colleges and day schools now. An evolutionary mandated scientific approach that excludes any place for a Creator. Beloved, that is a clear violation of the first commandment. The second commandment, no images, and only worship God as He has commanded in His Word to be worshipped, Lord's Day 35, if you want to check that later. The second commandment is being grossly violated by men deciding what they think works best in corporate worship to bring in the masses. If I might put it rather crassly, the dumbing down of the liturgy, the dumbing down of the music, the dumbing down of the preaching, so that many would come in, as we would respond, to have their ears tickled. It is, beloved, a very serious problem afoot. God has given us specific ways to be worshipped, And to set that aside for what we think to be utilitarian, practical reasons is nothing other than a violation of God's command. The third commandment in liberal theologies, where Jesus' name is being claimed as love, love over all kinds of gross behaviors, where it is that you have to love everybody and everything that they are doing, or you are not a lover of Jesus Christ. Beloved, that is nothing less than a gross and serious violation of the third commandment. Now, I might talk about the fourth, though I don't really need to, because if by now we've not caught the reality that violations of the fourth commandment and setting aside the Lord's Day is a serious matter, then of course we haven't been listening, right? And yet, it remains to be true. You see, we're just scratching the surface here, because God wants His Word, His law, preached strictly, pointedly. We're not allowed to pull punches, because the watchman is on the wall and he is watching for the safety of the populace and the security of the city, as it were, of the congregation and the alive reality of God's people. And he must issue the warning, and that warning must be heeded. People of God, you've just heard in summary form, four ongoing violations. You've heard the trumpet sound, verse 4. And if you personally, and as families, and if we as congregation do not take notice, but join in any of these violations, then the blood is on your own head. This is what the Word of God says. But verse 6, Ezekiel 33, if I do not warn you, and you participate in these violations, even though you will be taken away because of your own sin, if I haven't warned you, I will also share in that guilt. It becomes my responsibility. You see, beloved, we must hear these warnings and respond. This is what God is addressing to us. Not the physical attacks that come. Yes, they do come. But the spiritual matter is what is of interest here. Verse 8 of Ezekiel 33, notice this. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his views, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. He is addressing here, the Lord is, to Ezekiel and to the prophetic ministry, the reality of the spiritual death that comes from the violations of his commandments. And this, the preaching ministry, is where we are warned about these violations. Beloved, do we need to say the opposite of each of those violations of the commandments? Do we need to remind ourselves that evolution is a lie from the pit of hell, and that God is sovereign as the Creator over the whole world? Beloved, we know these things. Not only is He the Creator of His creation, but He is the sustainer of His creation. You don't need to get lost in all of the fretting and the hand-wringing about all of the things supposedly happening in society and in nature because of all of these troubles that man has brought. This is not what God calls us to be concerned about. There is no agreement between Christ and the enemy on any of these matters. Beloved, we need to be serious about what God has said in His Word. Fourthly, You are warned of these violations of the second table of the law. Respond. The fifth commandment. Now, when we think about the fifth commandment, we immediately know that it tells us to honor our father and our mother. But we realize that the catechism tells us, because scripture does, that there is an extending to that. And the extension of that is the issue of authority, and it includes governmental authority. What do we make of that? I think today what we must make of that is that we are in the midst of a worldwide resurgence of socialism, of Marxism, and of authoritarian governmental structures and philosophies now beginning to take over the world. I can't put it any more succinctly than that. And if you have not grasped that by now, of course, there's a problem, isn't there? But why is that so serious? Why would we want to rather say, well, that's political, and we ought not to be thinking about political matters in the preaching of the word? The reason, beloved, is this. Because every one of those forms of socialism and Marxism and authoritarian governmental structures has to push out the word of God before it can be put into place over a nation. Because what is brought to bear in those kinds of governmental structures is the, they say, ability of man to govern his own world. Each one of those structures is a heavy-handed motion of a man or of men saying, we know better than God. Beloved, not one of those has worked out beneficially and in a godly way. Think about the sixth commandment. We should not murder. I don't know if you caught this, but a while ago, it's been a little while now, the UN, the United Nations, passed a resolution positing, this is their resolution, positing the wonderful benefits of abortion as an aid to the worldwide population problem, they said. So one of the things they said we can do, which is a wonderful help to us in keeping the world's population under control, is to engage in more and more abortion practices. But does the Word of God have something to say about this? It's not just China, where 13 to 23 million, if we can even trust those numbers, 13 to 23 million children are aborted every year. But it's America where, now watch the air quotes, only 900,000 babies are murdered every year. Does the Word of God have something to say about this? Should the church in every way possible be engaging in the promotion and preservation of life, as we prayed this morning for that pregnancy resource in our own communities? The seventh commandment. The seventh commandment is likely being more grossly violated in our day than any other, if we can even make such a distinction. I heard again just recently that the two swimmers, I think it's in the college level of swimming, that are going to go head-to-head in the women's swimming competition are really two men who are pretending to be women. Can we even imagine that the church has no voice on these matters? Are we to say nothing about what's going on in our day in terms of the grossness of sexuality? Do we even remember 50 Shades of Grey? Do we even remember how many Christians had no problem watching the pornography called the Game of Thrones? Do you realize that it's no longer considered taboo for two people to sleep together before they get married to find out if they're a good match for one another? Well, these are the kinds of enemies prowling just off the edge, and now even in many cases inside the walls of the church. And should the church say nothing about these things? Are we not to address these things? The eighth commandment is being violated where money and the growth of personal wealth has become a god, small g, to be served. And I warn us that there is very little to no room for tithing in the money god's world, where personal wealth means everything. Beloved, we need to be aware of these things. Because we are being bombarded with it from our culture. If you turn on the TV, whatever kind of service you use, of course you know it has commercials. Even YouTube, if you want to watch a few things in YouTube, you get a commercial between everything you're watching. And these things are all being brought to us, presented to us as the thing you ought to be doing in terms of all of these violations of the commandments. The ninth commandment, as we heard just recently in a sermon, where Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and so many other sources of digital speech have become now the way that people malign one another without a hearing and unduly critique and criticize other people unjustly in an ungodly way. Violations of the ninth commandment again and again. Of course, beloved, we realize that in terms of the 10th commandment is the ongoing issue of coveting, in terms of coveting power and success. And we need to say this, people of God, in terms of something else that we don't often think about. People of God, the 10th commandment is violated in coveting power, success, and prowess over one's peers, coveting a better place, a better pride claim over your peers, as is provided for via video games, the postmodern Colosseum. And so, beloved, we need to realize that the enemy is attacking. These are the kinds of enemies that come at the church and Christians in advanced, there's a word we should use with air quotes, advanced societies like Europe, like Asia, like America. And so as we are growing up in terms of the application of the Word of God, and as the Lord is speaking here to His prophet Ezekiel and to the prophetic ministry, we need to grow up into realizing that these are the kinds of enemies and attacks that come at the church, our Christian experience in our day. We need to be heeding the trumpet call. People of God, think about this. People of God, what was the purpose for the trumpet blast by the watchman? What should the people do upon hearing the warning? And the answer is clear, isn't it? Run back inside the walls. Find safety. And this, ultimately, is why God wants His law preached so pointedly. So that we most eagerly, earnestly seek the forgiveness that is for us in Jesus Christ. His righteousness being our defense against all of these things. If we come to a church service and do not hear that God is strict about His commandments, then what we do as we go into the week is become less concerned about what God says. Beloved, I trust that is not something we would ever be disinterested in. What has God said to us? Is He clear about it? What He says here in Ezekiel at the end of this text, verse 9, makes it very clear, doesn't it? If you do not warn the wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not do so, two things. He will die for his sin. I don't want any of you to die for your sins. You will have saved yourself. Beloved, we need to realize the significance of the call of God to be warned and to find safety in Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, may it be that the more we hear the law preached, the more we will hear the need for the gospel, that we will turn again and again to the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is our refuge, who alone lived perfectly, obediently, and that we would find in Jesus Christ forgiveness for all of the sins about which we are warned. We would flee in for safety, and Lord, help us to take seriously Your commandments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.